Blog Talk Radio.
Look at the symptom, but actually look at the root cause.
And so that's going to be the topic on this morning. Tomorrow morning, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., we will be observing Pentecost 2023, Citizenship Day, as I like to call it, for when the Most High first opened up our ability to enter into his kingdom and to get our citizenship in his kingdom. And we want to make sure that when we become members of the kingdom, when we get our citizenship, that we also agree to obey his commandments, his laws, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments, when we become a citizen of the land. So anytime you become a citizen of a land, if you left and went to some country in, you know, South America or Africa or, you know, Europe, and you wanted to become a citizen there, you would agree to obey their laws, their ordinances, their statutes. Even if you went to court to agree to accept their judgment. And this is what the Most High says to us, that when we enter into covenant with him, that we agree to these things. And what he's saying to us in this series in False Salvation is that people are coming to him and saying that they belong to him, but then they don't do what he says to do. And that is the biggest problem. So we are, you know, as the Most High leads us, we're continuing in this series. We don't want to be caught up in the group, you know, we don't want to be caught up in the many. We know that the few are going to make it, not the many. And he's telling us exactly what's wrong with the many. So we're going to be looking at, as I said this morning, depravity. We want to send out blessings to everybody who have gone on trips and arrived back home safely, to those who have been sick and gotten well. If you are in need of prayer, as always, feel free to let me know, and I will pray for you. So let's go ahead and jump into this. May the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on this day, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. And we extol you, O God Elohim, and we bow down to you this morning, and we praise you, and we give you honor and glory. For truly, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, and there is no other Elohim besides you. Another that we will obey, and we will hear your voice, Father. Hallelujah, and we just glorify you. We glorify you, we glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. 10,000 times. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Our dear said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and turning from our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn now your eyes and your ears toward your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that are called for in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46 on this Shabbat. I will personalize it in your hearing. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land, whether we were tent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst love the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And let's get John 14 and 15 on this morning. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar.
to do no wrong. I'm a new man, I've been changed. Whatever y'all say, I will obey. I no longer listen to men, I test everything they say. Let the word of y'all be true, and let every man be a liar.
Pray to him. Do works in his name. Give to the poor. Feed the hungry. clothe the naked. You're doing the works that are, that you can see outwardly, but then in their everyday life, they're not really obeying him. They're not really obeying him. And so this is the premise for this precept. And how the Most High showed me that many people are in a false salvation. They believe that and talking like they're saved, but he says, I don't know you. And so this is a very big problem. So you take the group of believers, and then you have to split that group out. Don't worry about unbelievers. That's not even a topic. The topic is the believers, those that say they believe in him, those that are doing works in his name. He says, now I need to break out this group. And I got two groups. In the groups of believers, I got those that do what I say to do. And I got those that say that they do what I say to do, but they don't obey me. They don't do what I say to do. They're doing all the work. They want, you know, they've been even filled with the Ruach. But even when I write my laws in their heart and in their mind, they don't do them. They still choose to do their own thing. And that is because of a thing called depravity of man. Depravity. So let's look at this nature that allows people to come to the Most High. Say they believe in him. Say they're doing the works that he says to do, that they're able to do, but still not be able to do what he says to do as far as obeying him. Big problem. Let's go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 14. No, book of Romans chapter 7, my bad. Romans chapter 7. And Paul speaks on this depravity. And so we want to look at this. And then I want to paraphrase that it can be hard to understand. It can be hard to be understood what Paul is actually saying. So Romans, well, let's first discuss what is depravity. Depravity is the corrupt nature of man, which inevitably leads him to sin. What does Paul say about this depravity? Is what we're looking at. This is man's nature. And it's a corrupt nature in him. Has been there from the beginning. It always leads man to disobey. 7, verses 14 through 21. Well, we know that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Now, I'm going to read this as it's written, then I want to come back and paraphrase it, okay, the way it makes more sense to me. May not make as much sense to you, but I'm going to ask you to allow me that leeway so I can try to make sure that we understand this in a simplified way. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin. Paul is saying, hey, the problem here is the sin that's in me. Okay. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. All right, I want to paraphrase that, and I, you know, took a little bit of time, so, you know, bear with me. And I want to just change one word in here that made it make more sense to me. The word would, the should. And I'm going to reread this verse, changing that one word from would to should. And hopefully it makes more sense to you when I do it that way. So Romans chapter 14, 21, paraphrase. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I should, that I do not. What I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I should not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The will to do good is present with me. The will to do it. It's in my heart to do it. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to do it, but I don't know how to do it. I don't find a way to do it. For the good that I should, I do not. But the evil which I should not, that I do. Now, if I do that I should not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. The willingness to transgress, to be disobedient. Find then a law that when I should do good, evil is present with me. So we can have the willpower. We can have the will to do good. But then there's always that thought of not doing it. And that is the problem. We don't take responsibility for ourselves. Because Paul is blaming this on sin, the sin that dwells in us. But it really comes down to taking responsibility for our own actions. So when we know that we should do something, we should do it. Because we're accountable, because we know we have the will and we know that we should do it, but then we end up not doing it. That means that we are willfully being disobedient. Willfully being disobedient. So I know I should do good, but I'm not finding within in myself to know how to do it. And that we're not knowing how to do it is because we're not doing what the Most High said to do. He tells us exactly what to do. Just obey his voice. I've already given you everything that you need. All you got to do is obey and do it when the situation comes up. Just do it. Consider your choices. I've given you in everything that you do the decision to choose life or to choose death. Think about what you're doing. Is what you're doing going to bring you life or is it going to bring you death? Is it going to bring you a curse or is it going to bring you a blessing? Got to always, those are the only two choices we have in this world as far as the Most High is concerned. So man's nature of depravity to do sin, to not do what's good. This is what lead them to ruin. And this is what's going to lead the world to ruin. Because this is the nature of man. If he is not, the law is spiritual. And if you're allowing your flesh, as Paul said, I am flesh. We allow our flesh to rule. The flesh don't want to do what God wants us to do. The carnal man cannot please the Most High. The scriptures tell us over and over again, the carnal man, the fleshly man, the natural man cannot please God, cannot please Elohim. Not in his nature. It says, cannot please Elohim, neither indeed can. The carnal man can't do it. The law is spiritual, and the carnal man typically rejects the law. Because this flesh wants to please itself. This flesh wants the easy way, the broad, whichever way the wind is blowing, whichever way the slope is going. It's like water. If you pour water on the ground or on concrete or on the floor, if there's a slope in your floor, the water's going to flow in the direction of the slope, the easiest path. That's the way all rivers flow. They flow in the easiest He is fast, and that's the way sin works. That's the way the carnal man works. Wants to eat his path. If there's a mountain, let me go around the mountain. There's a valley, let me go down in the valley. I'm not going to fight the valley, try to run a, jump across it. I'm going to go down in the valley. I'm going to flow through the valley. And wherever the valley allows me to come out, that's where I'm going to come out at. This is the nature of man, to take the easy path. So let's look at a couple of examples of this. Gravity comes guilt. Because when we know, you don't feel guilty about doing something that you don't know is wrong. Why should you feel guilty? Well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. I ain't got no guilt about that because I didn't think I was doing wrong. So you don't feel guilty about things that you don't feel like you're not doing that are wrong. Feel guilty about doing things that you know are wrong, that you learn are wrong. So guilt, man's self-condemnation because of sin against Yah. Man is known to try and hide his guilt. However, all to no avail. Let's look at Saul. Saul in 1 Samuel. Just so we can set up this depravity and how it works, how it brings guilt. When we know that we have willfully sinned against the Most High. If we can work this out. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of Yah. I have performed the commandment of Yah. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in my ears? Now Saul was told to go to the Amalekites and kill everything, man, woman, child. Goat, dog, pig, everything. Don't leave nothing alive. So when Samuel comes up to him and Saul says, Blessed be thou of Yah, Samuel said, you know, wait a minute. You said you performed the commandments of Yah? You did what he told you to do? Then why am I hearing sheep? I ain't got to see them. I can hear them. And you were told to kill everything. And Saul said, they have brought them. They, here's the issue. This is the thing with depravity. Depravity doesn't want to take stability for what is done. They have brought them from the Amalekites. They is the people. Who are the people under? Saul. Saul was responsible to make sure, no, don't take those sheep. Kill them all. Kill everything that Yah has said. For the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yah, Yah, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So we kept the best of the sheep. The people kept the best of the sheep and said they're going to sacrifice them unto Yah. But Saul, you were told to kill everything. Pointed back at the people. Blame the people for it's not doing what Yah said to do. Okay? That's depravity. He knew he was guilty, but he didn't want to take responsibility to do it. He wanted to please the people. Look at Adam in this same type of situation. Go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. How did Adam try to cover his guilt? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. Adam knew what that fruit looked like from the tree. He told Eve, don't eat it. He told Eve not to even touch it. So when she gave it to him, it's not like he didn't know what she was giving him. But he turned around and pointed at her. She gave it to me. And I did eat. Instead of just taking the responsibility and saying, hey, I ate it. This is the nature of depravity, to blame someone else and not take responsibility on action. Okay. Not take responsibility of our own actions. That's why the Most High said that David was a man after his own heart, meaning that David took responsibility when it was revealed to him that, hey, you know you shouldn't have taken that man's wife. And then you had him killed. You tried to cover it up. It's me. I did it. I'm guilty. That's what the Most High wants. Take responsibility. Don't point at somebody else. You know, David could have said, you know, yeah, he was just so fine, I couldn't resist. Now you're going to blame her. She was just too fine. But she didn't know you were looking at her, anything like that. But David took responsibility for his own actions. He didn't blame someone else. That's why the scripture says David is a man after Elohim's own heart, because he took responsibility. Whereas Saul and Adam didn't. Saul and Adam really represent most of mankind. Don't take responsibility for our own actions. So when Paul is talking about depravity, doing what you should do, you know what you should do, but you somehow don't find the way to do it. You find a way to do the opposite, to do that which is evil. Whether it's you know you should pray for somebody, but you find a way not to. You know that you should help somebody, but you find a way not to. Okay, and then you find the way that you find to do it, you make an excuse that points away from you. You're not the problem. Something or someone else is the problem. That's depravity. And this is the nature of man. It runs contrary to the Most High. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Set the final foundation for this as we look into, because the world is in this condition. And only a few will find a way out of this condition, because it's human nature. It is the way of the flesh. I want the easy way. I want what I want, and I want the easy way out of it, around it, to do it. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, 1. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yeshua HaMashiach, or Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. When we come to Messiah, we have to understand that we are told to crucify the flesh, to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, to walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ, Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. When we walk after the Spirit, and we're not walking after sin. When we walk after the Spirit, we're walking after life. The Spirit gives us life, and the Spirit tells us what to do. And if we are following the Spirit of the Most High and following His statutes, His laws, His commandments, His ordinances, His judgment, then we won't walk after the flesh, because that's the law. Transgression, sin, and death go together. Transgress, then death comes. And we're not just talking about natural death, we're talking about spiritual death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, sin in the flesh. So we really don't have an excuse when it says He condemns sin in the flesh. It wasn't that He said, you're a sinful being, so I'm just going to forgive you and that's okay. No. I'm condemning sin that is done in the flesh. I'm not blessing that. I'm condemning it. So if you walk after the flesh, you are condemned. What the law could not do, in that the law was weak through the flesh. The law itself is not weak. It's when we try to apply the law from our fleshly mind, from our fleshly being. Then the law becomes weak, because our flesh is weak. And if we don't learn to walk in the Spirit, then we'll walk according to the flesh. Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. Even though Messiah didn't sin, he was put into this body that wants to sin. So he was then sent in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I'm coming in the vessel that you have a problem walking in, and I'm coming to straighten out the problem with that body. I'm coming to deal with the issue of sin. Condemn sin in the flesh. He condemned it. So I'm coming in a sinful body. I'm coming in a fleshly body that naturally wants to sin. That naturally wants to sin. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To walk after the Spirit of the Most High. What we're dealing with. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when we are carnal minded, when we walk after the flesh, when we are not being led by the Spirit of the Most High, then we will walk according to the flesh. We will make decisions according to the flesh. And the laws of the Most High won't be the underlying reason why we're doing something. Carnally minded is death. Now the world is unregenerated. The world itself is unregenerated. So if the world is walking after the flesh, and this is the basis for brotherly love, the flesh. It's not after the Spirit of the Most High. It is based upon the flesh, carnal man. We have learned that the carnal man, what does the scripture say? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against Elohim. The carnal mind is hatred against Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim. Neither indeed can be. So when we walk after the flesh and we base our decisions on the flesh, the carnal mind, the natural nature of man, which is depravity, to choose to disobey. That's man's natural way. When we walk after that, he says, we are not subject to his law. We will not make ourselves subject to his law. The carnal mind, the flesh, won't allow it. The carnal mind itself can't go there. Even if it seems to contradict what we feel like the law of Most High should say. His law says what it says, and we are to bring ourselves into subjection to it. And if we are walking after the Spirit, we are able to do that. But if we are walking after the flesh, if we're walking in our carnal mind, we will not subject ourselves to the law of Elohim. We will not subject ourselves to commandment. We don't care what it says. We're going to do what we believe is right. That's what happens. And it says, so the carnal man, the carnal mind, is hatred against the Most High, for it is not subject to the law of the Most High. Neither indeed can be. This is the problem. So the world is facing its love on the carnal mind because they are not regenerated. They are unregenerated. They haven't been born again. They want to use the print in the law, but not be subject to the law. So they know it's a good thing to feed the hungry. They know it's a good thing to clothe the naked, to take care of the poor. But they're doing it from a carnal aspect. Their whole root, their whole way, their whole motivation is from the carnal aspect of it, and not what the law of the Most High said. And they will not be able to subject themselves to the law or the love of the Most High, keeping his statutes, laws, commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. Carnal mind won't let you do that. So there's a hatred against Elohim. And cannot, it is not subject to his law and cannot be. That is the issue right there. It cannot be subject to his law. So it's going to make up its own and replace its own law with the Most High's law. It's going to replace its own love, type of love, with its own type of love. And think that it is good. This is what depravity causes. Causes us to do what we feel is right versus what the Most High says is right. And the Most High says, this is hatred against me. Most High, why you make different rules for the different tribes of the Levites? Why did you make different rules for the son that does good and the father that does? How come what the father does doesn't fall on his own child? If the child does good, your ways are not fair. Most High says, are not my ways equal and your ways unequal? Most High, why do you have different rules for men and women? Your ways are not fair. Most High says, are not my ways equal and your ways unequal? And so this is what mankind is dealing with. The carnal mind will say, hey, men and women should be equal in all things. But the Most High said, no. I told the woman to submit herself. Told her that her husband shall rule over her. She's supposed to submit to that. But in the carnal mind will take over and say, well, no, we should be equal. We're in the same relationship. I should have just as much power and authority as you have. And this is where the world is at. We want to remove the provision where it says, in the marriage covenant to obey. We don't like that. We don't like that today, so let's remove it. That's the carnal mind speaking. That's enmity against what the Most High has said. So I pray that we can understand this nature of the carnal mind. It is not and cannot be subject to the law of the Most High to do it, because it's going to subject itself to its own. Its own standard, and it will fight with the laws of the Most High. Okay? Go ahead and look at this on a worldly scale. If this is what is going to bring mankind to ruin. So let's look at these two aspects of the ruin and depravity of man, which also help us to understand the real problem inherent in phileo, or brotherly love, of man. Brotherly love. This is a deception. If you understand that brotherly love is born out of the carnal mind. And the carnal mind is hatred toward the Most High. And the carnal mind, brotherly love, to the law of the Most High. And he says, and neither indeed can be. So the carnal mind will believe in brotherly love, will believe in phileo love, not understanding that it's not the same as the love of Elohim. It has been deceived. It is under delusion. So when he says, people under deception, they're in delusion. They believe that what they believe is true. But they can't understand that they have been deceived. And the process for coming from under that deception, it's not easy. It's slow, painful. Because you have to accept and realize some things about ourselves. It requires us to remember the scripture say, examine yourself. It requires a serious examination of self. Am I walking in the ways of the Most High, or am I walking in the ways of my own mind? Saying that some man wrote this, or am I saying this is truly the word of the Most High? Because this depravity will make us tend to lean toward and blame somebody else for not doing what the Most High said to do. Depravity will say, no, that's not what the Most High wants. That's what a man wrote. That's the opinion of someone else. That's what it will do. So in order to come out of that, we have to do a self-examination. Where am I walking at? And I need to adhere to the facts, not to opinion. Because we will be quick to put our own opinion in it. That's the nature of depravity. What I think versus what the Most High said. Our opinion out of the picture. We really have to be willing to face the fact that we may be wrong in what we feel or think. That's an honest self-examination. Am I lining up with the word of the Most High? Or am I going based upon my own personal feelings that are based in depravity? I pray we can get this. The overall thrust of the gospel of Yeshua is to bring the believer out of the deception, because this is man's nature. Messiah didn't come to give us anything new. Man has been walking in deception from the beginning. Walking in deception. So he came to bring us out of it. He came to reveal the Father to us. He came to show us how not to walk in sin, how to obey, how to choose life. All men are under deception. In order to come out of that deception, many areas of human life have to be examined. Many areas of our daily existence and how we conduct ourselves has to be discarded in favor of what is written, in favor of what the Most High said. And that can be painful. That can be hard. Because this natural nature in us, follow that. The natural nature in us is to do what we want to do. Okay. Messiah called it following the narrow way. If all men are in sin, and all men are in deception, and all men are walking after the carnal mind, if all men have not been regenerated, and the vast majority of men have not, then your psychologist, your psychiatrist, your counselor, your family member, they are giving you advice based upon not the word of the Most High, not based upon the love of Elohim, but based upon brotherly love. That's what it's upon. And not the love of Elohim. It's not based upon the narrow way. It would be based upon the what? Broad way. Think about that. Based upon the broad way. And so this is the issue. And this is what brings man into ruin. All of mankind into ruin. Because they're walking in that deception. Not even willing to examine themselves whether they are being deceived. Whether they have been deluded. So let's look at an area in which judgment of man is done by Elohim. Now he's going to judge man. If we examine the judgment closely, we are going to find further proof of a radical difference between the love of Elohim and the love of man, the natural man. Those two things don't walk together. They don't go together. It's a different standard. And we can have the Spirit of the Most High and still choose to walk in the flesh. What happens evidently to a lot of the believers. The Most High can fill them with his Spirit, and they still choose to walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Because they never really take a true self-examination of themselves and say, you know what? This area in my life is not in accordance with the Scripture. This area of my life is not in accordance with the Word of the Most High. We got to understand that. The love of Elohim is hidden from them. Even though they believe that because they equate brotherly love to the love of Elohim. They equate their ways as being equal to his ways. Their thoughts as being equal to his thoughts. And it's hidden from them. But they don't know anything about it. They think they do, but they don't know anything about it because they haven't been regenerated. Hear about him, know his name, do works in his name, but don't obey him. Only those that are in the straight and narrow will obey him through obedience. As long as we walk in disobedience, we can't see the truth. We won't accept the truth. We'll see things are wrong with us. But we can see things are wrong with us and still choose the path of the natural man, the natural mind. We want versus what the Most High wants. Now, just imagine this. If you are unregenerated, and you have not come into the understanding that you need to obey everything that the Most High says. We have to take person out of it. We have to take our personal self out of it. If we don't do that, then we're going to always go with our feelings. what I feel is right, what I think is right. And those things are based upon not the things of the Most High. He told us, the natural man is not subject to the laws of Elohim, and neither indeed can be. Hey, where am I out of line with the Most High? We have to come out and say, where am I, where depravity is causing me to blame something or someone else for my shortcoming? Because that's what depravity does. Let me point the finger somewhere else. Well, I know the Word of God says this, but I believe somebody wrote that so that they can subject women and make women subjected to men. You either believe that it's the Word of the Most High or you don't believe it. You're either going to do it and obey it or you're not. So when we're walking after the flesh, we will not obey it. Somebody else wrote that. That's not from the Most High. We will say things like this. We will do things like this. False. It's society's fault. Because society is not operating based upon a love of Elohim. Society is based upon the love of brothers. And the standard that man has and not what the Most High has. So they will come together in the name of peace, in the name of love, according to their standard and not his. And this is the problem. So let's look at, go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And this is talking about the Antichrist. In verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Any man has an ear to hear and understand, let him hear. So this is where we are at. You're not it. Those that follow after brotherly love, they will not obey the commandments of the Most High. And because they will not obey the commandments of the Most High, their name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will believe their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, I'm doing good work. I'm claiming the correct Messiah. I'm feeding the hungry. I'm praying for people. I'm seeing miracles. And then he turns around to them and says, get away from me. I never knew you. That's scary to me. It really is scary to me. Never, you thought you were walking in all his ways? You thought that you belonged to him? But you wouldn't obey him? That's scary. Book of Life. That's where we want to find our names at. But he tells us all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the Antichrist, whose name are not written in the Book of Life. So if your name ain't already in there, when he shows up on the scene, if you're not already obeying the Most High, You will obey Antichrist. Seem right to you. You won't even know it. Sounds good. You professing to belong to Messiah and will turn around and choose Antichrist because you don't know the Most High. And he says he will bring that delusion upon you to those that do that. Oh, you don't obey me? You want to believe a lie? Then I'm going to bring a strong delusion upon you and cause you to believe the lie. So no matter what is said to you, you're not going to obey because you believe you already are. This is scary. And the vast majority of the world will fall into this. The vast majority of the world are not even quote-unquote Christians or believers in that system. So don't even worry about them. We know that they are lost. And they're going to be the ones in charge of the world. And they're Antichrist. They are lost. And so you got people who are going to be following the lost. The dead following the dead, believing that they have life. And the president and the rulers of these different countries will all believe that what they are doing is good. What they are doing is right. They are making decisions from an unregenerated mind. And saying that is it good. Let's look at what is the end of all unregenerated sinners. Unregenerated meaning that I'm not saying born again. Then we see in the scriptures some of those that are born again who have been baptized in Messiah's name, who have received the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that they can get power to cast out devils, to cast out unclean spirits. Even they can be unregenerated in that they don't come to the understanding that they have to obey the Most High. Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to get verse 41. Matthew 25 and 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, calling him their master, they know him. When saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? When did we see you that way? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. So the unregenerated person doesn't learn that they have to become unselfish, that they got to obey all the scriptures, because the scripture says, expose not your hand against the poor. Open it wide and don't just give them a meal, but give them what is sufficient for them to survive. Now, this was a law, and this is a law. So you see somebody begging on the street, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to give them any money. I'll take you to McDonald's, and I'll buy you a meal here, because you might take what I give you and go buy cigarettes or something to drink and what have you. But the truth of the matter is, he said, close not your hand to the poor and give them sufficient to meet their needs. Help them come up out of poverty. Messiah said, the poor you will always have with you. Why? Because we're not going to obey that law. The vast majority of those that listen to this broadcast, we are of Hebrew descent. Yes, we have Gentiles that listen and what have you, but I'm going to speak to my brothers and sisters of Hebrew descent. We are, at least 2 years ago, we were ranked as number 19 in the world as far as wealth. Those in the United States alone, not globally. The Hebrew, so-called Negro, in the United States, ranked number 19 in the world financially. That means that there are 186 countries out there, countries that are poorer than we are. Think about that. 186 countries poorer than you are, and you're in the land of your captivity. But always complaining about how bad we got it. Always complaining about how you know, Yah hasn't blessed us. If we took what we had and we united under Yah as a people and did what he told us to do, there is nothing that we could not accomplish in this world, especially concerning his kingdom. But we are so wrapped up in the ways of the world that we cannot come together. We continue to do things that make us have to live in sin, which means that we continue to bring the curses upon ourselves because we refuse to do what Yah has said to do. So he says, you're using my name, but I don't know you because you're still not following my commandments. You're still not following my judgment. See, we wouldn't have a lot of these problems that we have in inner cities among our people, the children leading the parents. Parents doing. Parents condoning what the child has done because they did it. The Most High says, if your child has done this, then remove that sin from you. Oh, no, we're not doing that. The young men out here slinging dope, shooting up each other. Then the righteous men within the community, you shouldn't have to have the police to police that. We should be policing ourselves and running that stuff out of the community. Don't know where you want to do that at, but you can't do it here. But because we're not following the laws of the Most High, and because we don't have that same standard, because we are unregenerated. So we go by the laws of man. And we go by the standards of men. And that becomes our norm. And what the Most High wants seems to be extreme. That's the problem. So unregenerated man is cursed. As he said, apart from me, you curse. But we know that everybody that has not come into the truth, don't believe in the scriptures, don't believe in the Most High, don't believe in Messiah, they are that way already. Not talking to them. Talking to those that say they believe. is because you don't obey, you are cursed. They don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. Because when I first found out that we were Hebrew Israelites and that we were cursed because we disobeyed the Most High Elohim, I became depressed. What do you mean we cursed? If we're cursed, no hope for us. The Most High showed me. No, you can come from under the curse. Repent. Truly repent. Turn from your wicked ways and stop sinning. Obey my voice. You can come from under that. That's what he tells us in Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel, I believe it's 18. If not, it's 36. I usually get these mixed up. The book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read this to you. Because you can come from under the curse. The word of Yah came unto me again, saying, what mean you that you use discerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's feet are set on edge? Said, what mean you to use the proverb concerning Israel? As I live, saith Yah Elohim, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. You won't have any more. You can't use this anymore. This thing, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But remember, we read in Deuteronomy, we read in Exodus, that the Most High hated the sinners and said, I would hold you accountable to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. Saying, okay, you won't be able to say this anymore. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, it's all about being lawful. Obeying his law. That's what makes you lawful and right. And has not eaten upon the mountain. So he's going to say, has not disobeyed him, has not done what he said not to do. Neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. Neither has defiled his neighbor's wife. Neither has come near to a mistress woman. Has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge. Has spoiled none by violence. Didn't rob anybody, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with garments. He has not given forth upon usury, charged interest for a loan he gave somebody. Neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man. True judgment is his judgment. He gives us, if this situation comes up, my judgment is this. This is what you do. Don't come up with what you want to do. Do what I said do. Has executed true justice. That's his judgment between man and man. Has walked in my statutes. Kept my judgment. Not your judgment. Not our own judgment. But has kept my judgment. To deal truly. He is just. He is just. He shall surely live, saith Yah Elohim. So now he's going to go into a different scenario. This is the just man. Now the just man has a son, a daughter, child. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any one of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, has lifted up his eyes to idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, has taken increase, shall he then live? Now, for the women, we'd say, hey, this is what he's talking about to men. But simply, the Most High says that a good woman is to submit to her man, but to her father, and is not to play the harlot, not to go out there and sleep with somebody being not married to them. That's really what he puts on the woman. Don't play the harlot. Yeah, he says you should work hard. You should be a virtuous woman. You should follow his laws. But the real big one is, don't play the harlot. So if you have a mother who is righteous and she's lawful and she has not played the harlot, then she has a daughter that has played the harlot, because that daughter should die for her sin. Goes the same way. So he's using the man. So he begets a son, and his son does all these wicked things. The just man has a son, and his son doesn't follow after his father. He does wicked things. Now, lo, if he begat a son, now let's go back. Verse 13. Has given forth upon usury, has taken increase, shall he then live? So this righteous man has a son that does wickedness. He says, shall this son live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he, the wicked son, begets a son that sees all his father's sins, which he has done, and considers it, and does not such like, don't do the same thing, that has not eaten upon the mountain, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has oppressed any, has not withholden the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, that has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgment, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. That's why I said generational curses don't really exist. If you continue to if the man, the son, continued in the ways of his father, it would appear to be generational, because they're doing exactly what their father did. But if they consider and say, you know what? I don't want to be like that. They search out the Most High. They find out what the Most High says, and they do it. They don't come up with their own righteousness. That's what a lot of people do. Well, you know, my parent was like this, and this is what they did. I don't think that's right. This is what I'm going to do. But it's not based upon the word of God. It's based upon their own unregenerated mind and what they think is right. That won't meet the standard either. Did they do better than their father? Yes. Did they do what the Most High said to do? No. So we got to always understand that we can't make up our own standard of righteousness, especially if we're coming from an unregenerated mind. We will do what we think is right. We will do what the world says is right, and the world is unregenerated. The world will give us a standard that is not the standard of the Most High. An unregenerated person will teach the scriptures in an unregenerated way, making excuses for their iniquity. I'm only human. Most I know is that, you got to walk in my way. You got to do what I said to do. You got to be regenerated. Gravity in us won't allow us to do that until we take accountability for self. True accountability for ourselves. It's me, God. It's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me standing in the need of salvation. Understanding what true salvation is. I am contrary to you. I am not subject and have not subjected myself to your law. I have followed after what I was taught by somebody else who is unregenerated and giving me their personal opinion. Giving me their personal opinion. So he says, generational curses only go as far as each person. Each person can remove the curse from themselves. And if they don't ever come to that understanding, it was not meant for them to come to that understanding. And they will still be damned. Because what that means is that Yah never chose them. For whatever the reason, he never chose them. Many are called. Few are chosen. Yah is doing the calling and Yah is doing the choosing. And if we never come to the understanding that we have to obey, that is the straight and narrow road. That is the straight and narrow gate to obey. Yeah, I got to be baptized in his name. I got to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, but I have to obey him. I have to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments. He says, and walks in my statutes and keeps my judgment. I can go out right now to any camp, to any chat room on the internet, find a Hebrew community and ask the question. Do we say we keep the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High? And everybody will raise their hand. Yes, we say we keep that. Ask if they walk in his judgment, and they will find all kind of reasons not to. We're not in our land. Yada, 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 yada. But that's not what the Most High said. He didn't say you had to be in the land. He says, if you understand, then you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to keep my statutes. You're going to keep my ordinances. You're going to keep my judgment. You're going to walk in them. You're going to do what I said to do. Not what you want to do, but what I said to do. You're going to do that. So you can come out of it. Not what you think. Not what you feel, but what he said. That's why Messiah said. You're accountable for what is written. Because the Elohim that I serve, he is able to protect his word. And if you're truly seeking after him, even if men have tried to corrupt it, which I know he will not let them do that, he will show you where, no, that's not how I meant that. And it's written that way. Because I don't want them to understand. And I really understand this in the scriptures now. It is written so that those that are not truly following him, not truly obeying him, they will not understand. They will come to an understanding. They won't come to his. They will come to a natural carnal understanding in their mind based upon brotherly love and not the love of Elohim. Two different things. The love of Elohim is not corrupt. The love of brotherhood, brotherly love, is corrupt. It can be nothing but corrupt because it's based upon, it's not based upon the laws of the Most High. is based upon the laws and the feelings of men, how men feel like they should treat each other, how men feel like what should be lawful and what should not be lawful. Something is not lawful, we as men cannot turn around and say, you know, the times change, people change, society changes. So this thing that the Most High said is outdated. This thing that the Most High said is outdated. Man can't do that, but that's exactly what man does. That was for them back then. It's not for us today. Most High says, I don't change. My word does not change. My standards don't change. So then, this is what goes on. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. The final end of all unregenerated sinners. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened. And another book was opened. So the books were opened. These books are your works. He's going to tell us this, which is the book of life. So, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their work. You did this good, this was bad. Your work. And everybody's going to be judged according to their work. So we got the Lamb's Book of Life, and we got the book of your works, of our works. Now, look and see what he does. And he says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell. No more death. No more hell. No more grave. That system is done away with. This is the second death. Now he's going to define to you the second death. It's a lake of fire. The first death, physical death, is thrown into that and done away with. Hell, which really represents the grave, is done away with. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They're eternal now. They cannot die. Death has been done away with. All the unregenerated people being judged according to their work are given eternal life and then cast into the lake of fire. And what was this lake designed to do? Go back to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You are made like and given eternal life like the angels and like the demons have. These entities cannot die. So the Most High put eternity on the unregenerated sinner and made him just like the devil and the false prophet, eternal, and then cast them into the lake with them, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You can't die. That's what's going to happen to all unregenerated sinners, everybody that don't find the straight and narrow, whether you are a believer or not. If you are a believer and you're disobedient, you will find the second death in the lake of fire. That's how those people can say, didn't we do these things in your name? Didn't we cast out unclean spirits? Didn't we feed the hungry? Didn't we do wondrous works in your name? They knew him. Said that they knew him. They knew of him. But they didn't obey him. Didn't keep his commandments, his laws, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments. Spirit within us that we would do even his judgments. Well, we find all kind of reasons why we can't. That tells me then we are unregenerated. We haven't come into the truth. We are half-stepping. We are saying, hey, I know him. He is my master. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. I know him. He says, I never knew you. Go to Revelation chapter 21 and 8. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Now, these are just some categories of people who are going to go into the lake. Those that are fearful, that fear, don't fear the Most High, but they fear mankind. They don't fear their mother and father. They don't fear the Most High, but they fear men. They fear if they keep the laws of the Most High, men are going to kill them. They love their life more than they love the Most High. The unbelieving. I don't believe that. That's the way you believe. I believe this way. When the Most High is sending the truth to you, he wants us to believe it. The abominable. Those people who practice those things that the Most High says are abominable to him. The whoremonger. The whore, the thief, those that eat unclean things, that they're abominable to him. Those that take life unjustly. So you can take life if you're justified in taking a life. You can protect yourself. Somebody breaking into your house, they are threatening your life and the life of your loved one, can take their life. But if you take their life unjustly, you are a murderer. So you break into somebody's house and you kill them. You had no reason, number one, to break into their house. Number two, you had no reason to kill them. You took their life unjustly. They had not done anything to you. It's you just doing it to them. You are a murderer. He says, you are too. You will go into the lake. The whoremonger. A whoremonger is simply somebody that takes his whore. A womanizer. A pimp. A brother that just wants to sleep with the sister to have sex but don't really is not going to be in right relationship with her. He's a whoremonger. Let's date and let's have a physical relationship and not be married. That's a whoremonger. Why? Because the woman that you're with, I don't care how sanctimonious she thinks that she is, how righteous she thinks that she is, if she's going to have sex with a man and she's not married to him, the scripture says she is a whore. She is a harlot. The man that does that is the whoremonger. Using witchcraft. Using drugs and incantations to alter people's minds. The woman that practices witchcraft. Idolatry. People who worship anything other than the Most High. They are worshiping him. But they're really worshiping the Elohim of their mind. The Elohim of their mind. That's an idolater. No, they didn't carve anything out of wood and stone. They carved them out of their mind. Elohim is like this. My Elohim would be like that. And Elohim would not do this. And Elohim would allow this. And Elohim won't allow that. If it's contrary to what he has said about himself, then it's contrary. All liars. When we are lying and trying to deceive people, especially when it comes to salvation, to have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Which is the second death. That's why he said before, this is the second death in verse in Revelation 20. The lake of fire is the second death. Your name's not written in the book because of your work. That we will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, taking us back to false salvation. Message not to unbelievers, to believers, those that claim, those that do works in his name, those that do miracles in his name, those that say they believe on him and that he's their savior. If they are not keeping the commandments, the statutes, the laws, the ordinance, the judgment, he's going to say, get away from me. You worker of iniquity. You worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. I never knew you. Strong statement. That means that these people believe that they are saved, but their salvation is false. They are not saved. And it comes down to not obeying him. Period. So when Antichrist comes, he's going to look for that crack in man that he can exploit, and that crack is brotherly love. And your love is better than the love of the Most High, what it means to be human. You know that you're not perfect, and you're not trying to be perfect. You're trying to do the best that you can do. When the Most High said, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Not the world. And then the world is going to come up with standards based upon their understanding and what they want and what they believe, and not the standards of the Most High. That's why they're always quick to mention, regardless of religion or regardless of faith, we don't want to hear what your Elohim has to say. We don't care who he is, of our own understanding and definitions of what love is. We're basing this off our own definitions of what is good and what is bad. not what your Elohim is. I don't care if it's Allah, Buddha, Yah, we don't care. We want to leave that out, eliminate that, so they can make up their own. And that own is based upon unregenerated man, whose ways are always evil. That's what Antichrist is going to. And not based upon what Yah says. Upon what Yah says. So our own mind would tell us one thing. Our own mind would say, hey, I think that this way is not equal. But I believe this is equal. And Yah has said something different concerning that thing. See, we're not worshiping Yah. We're worshiping the Elohim of our mind, the one we created in our mind. Got to understand that. We are at 9:56. I pray that we understand depravity, man's nature, to point at something else and say, that's the fault, that's the reason, rather than looking at ourselves and saying, I'm this way because I chose to be this way. I'm this way because I choose to be this way. And I don't believe what is written. I don't trust what is written. I'm going to do what I feel is right. Go to one other place, and we will call this a day. I'm just going to read just a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 2, verse 5. Now, this is the wise men, the leaders, the religious leaders, and the prophets in Jerusalem. And they're asking about Messiah, the king that's to come. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. They only knew that prophecy because it was written. This is Messiah talking. When he has been in the desert 40 days, or in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. And he tells us what to use. The tempter, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. He didn't say, my father told me. He didn't say he gave it to me in a vision or in a dream. He came to me in a personal prayer and said this. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. It is written. Then the devil took him to the holy city and put him on a pinnacle of a temple, and saith unto him, if you be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down, jump, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, they'll catch you, at least any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Yeshua said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yah thy Elohim. It is written. And if we don't believe what is written, then we're coming of our own understanding and of our own opinion. He had these things written for our good, that we might be saved, that we might have something to stand on. If a prophet comes and says, thus saith Yah Elohim, such and such is going to happen, and it was never written down, then when all those people die out, if that prophecy comes to pass after they all die, then it can never be said it was written because nobody would ever know about it. Everybody died out. The thing that the Most High has written down is so that it can prove that he said it and it came to pass. You can stand on that. He is faithful. Whatever he says is going to happen, is going to happen. Go to one other place. To 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And the word of the Most High reads, all scripture, not some scripture, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, instruction in lawfulness, that the man of Elohim may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have to use the scripture, and we have to use the word of the Most High, and we have to obey. And the Most High will show us how to do that perfectly when we are seeking him out from a righteous heart to do right. To do right by him. To obey him. Not to do what we want to do. Let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you even right now, Father. Seeking your voice. And if there should be any among us that have been walking in their own ways, walking in their flesh, claiming to know you, Father, that you are their Elohim and you are their Savior and you are their Redeemer, and they keep not your commandments, Father, give them an unction that they must do this. That they must bring themselves in line with what you have written. What you have written. For as Father, we know that you can reveal yourself to us in dreams and in visions. And Father, we pray that you would not have us to do or say anything that contradicts what you have had written, for it becomes confusion. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On this evening, I'm going to walk out of this series for a minute, and I want to speak to salvation on this evening. How does one become saved for those who have friends, relatives, your children, ourselves? What is written concerning how to be saved? We know you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We want to make sure that this message includes and gives the intent of what the Most High wants, in that Messiah died for your sins that are past, the day you came to him. And so this particular lesson is going to be for our prosperity, and for those that are on the internet or those that are searching how to be saved. that they receive it the correct way. And you can download this lesson and give it to your friends. Whether they listen to it or not, it will still be a coal heaped upon their heads if they don't listen. But what the Most High has shown us, how do we get our citizenship and how do we walk in this thing so that he doesn't say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. How do we get our citizenship? So tomorrow we will celebrate Citizenship Day. So we might as well tell people how to become true citizens in the kingdom of the Most High. And what the expectation he has. And how each person is to walk in their citizenship in a lawful way, in a righteous way. I will not hold them accountable for ignorant things. What they don't know. But he will send somebody to you to tell you. But he does not want you to walk in ignorance forever. So he will send somebody to you to tell you. But what you don't know, he will not hold you accountable until you know it. Then he holds you accountable for it. And if you don't repent of it, you're guilty because you know it's wrong and you continue to do it. If you repent of it and go back into it and do it, you're guilty. But he says you're way more guiltier and you deserve a way worse punishment than the law of Moses ever called. If people think things are easier and simpler under the New Testament, under the New Covenant, and they are not. The New Covenant is a redo. Covenant is with a couple of modifications, but it's the same old covenant with some modifications. Obey my voice and keep my commandments. I'm going to let you get out of that condition of sin one time, your willful sin, because I never forgave willful sin. And I think that's where we will start. Your iniquity shall remain upon you. That's where he was, in Torah. You do something you know is wrong, you couldn't bring a sacrifice for it. It didn't go into the temple. It wasn't put at the altar. You were not forgiven up for that on the Day of Atonement. Messiah, it's even more serious. It's worse. It's more stringent. And the world is teaching this thing in such a way that it allows people to continue to walk in their sin knowingly and keep saying, well, Yah has to forgive me. Yah, forgive me. And Yah says, there ain't no forgiveness for that. So we want to give them the correct expectation, how they enter into the kingdom, how the Most High expects them to walk, and how he's going to judge them based upon that, judge all mankind. And as I said, I am guilty. Tell me, teach them the truth. And I won't know whether I'm forgiven. I won't know whether I'm forgiven until I go before him. But I still have to tell you the truth. And so for all those who are new in the walk, wherever you're at in the world, if the Most High is putting an unction on your heart to enter in, we want to set the correct expectation as it is written in the scriptures as to how you receive your citizenship and how you are to conduct yourself once you have received. That the Elohim we serve is strict. He is hard. He says, I'm a rough man. If you knew how rough I was, you wouldn't come here playing. I'm austere. I do terrible things, Sandy. And so we want to do that on this evening. How do we enter in? We've been talking about false salvation. Let's do a lesson on how you receive true salvation and how you should walk in it and how there should be evidence. that you have. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can get rid of this stuff. Fear God and keep his commandments, saints, the whole duty of man. Shalom. Guys on this evening.